Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. My name is Ben.
My name is Craig.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tank.
Woo! Tank is back.
Yay.
I'm back.
We're actually all on the same episode for the first time in maybe more than a month.
I was going to say, it feels like it's been forever.
It's been a long time.
So my wife and I had a deal like a couple months back now. She has always made fun of my Twitter usage because she doesn't like Twitter. And I haven't been on Instagram since like the first time it was rumored they might use pictures for ads or something. Like I made this righteous stand or whatever. And so I deleted my Instagram account way back then. And so she said, okay, I've been harping on Tanya to get a Twitter account. And she's been harping on me to get an Instagram account. So a couple months ago, she said, I'll make a deal with you. If you get an Instagram account, I will get a Twitter. And I'm like, okay. And she was like, that was not the reaction I was expecting. Abort, abort.
Nice.
So I guess 2 weeks ago now, I made an Instagram account. And now she is on Twitter. Mwahaha.
I think I followed you both on the same day. I saw you tweeting about it.
Yep. So,
have you Instagrammed anything?
I have. I've Instagrammed a cool little dragonfly type little guy. little friend visited me on the job site.
Was that part of the deal? Did you have to like each post or something?
No, she actually has only retweeted my one tweet about her being on Twitter. So she hasn't really done much yet. I need to teach her actually how Twitter works. Twitter is really hard to teach someone how it's good. This is Twitter's whole problem.
I'm going to tweet at her, you should tweet more, and see what happens.
Do it. But Twitter is really hard to get someone in on, like convince that this is a valuable thing. Like, what is your pitch for someone when they say, okay, why should I get a Twitter?
Because it teaches you to communicate in a concise manner.
All right.
That's good.
Okay. All right.
In fact, we were speaking about walls of text earlier in the Slack, and that's incredibly relevant.
Yep.
Because you only get 140 characters. If anybody isn't on Twitter, it might be worthwhile to... It's a microblogging platform, social media. Probably you've heard of it, unless you were, you know, Patrick Starr or something for the last few years.
Yeah.
Get
I feel
it,
like...
it slips under a rock.
I just got that. That was funny. I think I need to get her to start following some interesting people, and then maybe it'll, I don't know, start being compelling. We'll see. I'll get Tanya.
Yeah, I just think it's sort of the center of the conversation about pretty much everything these days, I feel like. I mean, that seems to be the platform that people express themselves on.
I just need to figure out how to whittle it down to, you know, the channels she's interested in.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
that is fair.
You can all go tweet Tanya at the other mast. On Twitter now, so
do it. I just did.
And what about your Instagram handle, Derek?
Oh, my Instagram handle is the Derek Mast.
Because the mast was taken.
Because the mast was taken. Yes.
I knew it.
Yep. So there's that.
So we have a bit of follow up from last week when we were talking about repentance. As we were talking about the gospel last week. Someone pointed out, David McCookie, I guess I can say who it is, pointed out that it may have sounded to some like we were, actually, I don't even know if he was saying this. I think he was just asking for clarification on what we said. And then I realized that maybe it sounded to some like on the last day, God's going to ask you, what your repentance looked like, or he's going to judge you based on how much you've repented or something like that, or if you've shown any repentance. And we would say, obviously, in response that, you know, we're good Protestants, and so we believe in sola fide, which is that we're justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. So it's actually Christ's righteousness that God will look at on the last day when he judges everyone. And those who are credited with Christ's righteousness by faith will inherit the earth, will live forever with God. And those who don't have that righteousness won't. So it's not that we're judged based on our repentance, but for further clarification, obviously we would all agree that true saving faith should lead to repentance. They sort of go hand in hand in that sense. Not that we think that there's some sort of eternal measurement that takes place there, but that certainly we can look at our own, in our own lives and say, you know, have I repented? And if I haven't, then that's probably evidence that I don't have true faith in Jesus.
Which is why I think I used the word response. So
you did use the word response. I remember that. That was good.
So the act of repenting and pursuing holiness, even though that holiness is not something we grasp perfectly at conversion, it's an ongoing process of sanctification that God works in us. It's not even something that we do. It's something that we pursue as he enables us, as he's the one who refines us and conforms us more and more to the image of his son. That is a response in the sense that it follows after. It's fruit of what God does in us at regeneration, at the point of regeneration, basically. Which means it's all of God. The repentance even is of God. It's not something that we can just all of a sudden at a point in time decide to do of our own, you know, wise choices. It's something that, like I said, is a response to what he's already done in and for us. And so, yeah, I think we talked about it in the Slack, and I think we're all on the same page now. So that's good.
Yeah, they are different, you know, things. One, you know, faith, you are only justified by faith, but yeah. Repentance comes along with sanctification as you grow as a believer. So, yeah. Separate things, very close, but separate.
Yeah, I think it links to the conversation of, like, as believers, we don't say that we are, now that we are Christians, that we are without sin. But it does say, and I think it's 1 John 3, someone might correct me if I'm wrong, that a true believer who has saving faith can't, doesn't go on sinning. So, doesn't, like, intentionally continue to pursue a sinful way of life. If you're doing that, if you're actively, you can't actively pursue, it's like, you know, you can't have both God and money as your master. Like, you can't actively pursue sin and God at the same time. You know, that's the whole thing of God changes your heart to desire him more than sin. It doesn't mean we don't sin. We still fall short. But God is the one who picks our life up and puts it on a path. If that makes sense.
For sure.
On a different path, a path towards himself. Would you add anything to that, Ben?
I was just going to say, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And forgive us our sins and purify us all in righteousness. It's 1 John 1, 6 through 9 is what I read. That's what you were talking about, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say that the exhortation stands. If you look at your life and you don't see any fruit of repentance, that should give you caution. I mean, if your disposition and your attitude towards sin hasn't changed ever, like if you don't think it's bad to lie, steal, commit adultery, murder, hate your brother, then yeah. That's like a big problem.
Yeah, if you're not broken over your sin, you're probably not a believer.
Yeah, I think that's all we were trying to get at. Certainly that those things still exist in the life of the Christian, but the overall arch of your life would hopefully be that by God's grace, you're struggling against those things, not being passive and just letting life happen or having a good attitude about it or something like that.
But if you feel that you are not saved because you have sinned and you don't feel redeemed for some reason, like if you're afraid that your righteousness isn't measuring up to what it should be, that's not cause to be afraid that you're not justified anymore. If you're grieved over the fact, like if this is keeping you up at night, this is not something to keep you up at night. This is, again, the difference between justification and sanctification is very important.
Well, yeah, then we would just go back to what we said at the beginning, right? It's mm-hmm. not your righteousness that saves you. It's Christ's
Correct.
Righteousness. And the person in that position yeah. needs to look to the Savior, not to themselves.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I've known, my wife has known a bunch of people who have been really broken over some really poor treatment of like Lordship salvation. With people just crippled with doubt because their lives don't measure up to what they think they should. And that is not at all what we are recommending. You know, if do not be crippled with doubt. you know, fall on the Savior. Anyway.
Hopefully that covers that. I think it does. If anyone else has anything they're still confused about or thinks we should have said differently for some particular reason that you think conflicts with anything that we've said before or with sound doctrine, then feel free to let us know. But I think that sort of summarizes where we're at. And also, if you want to check the discussion in the Slack during the week with David, I think it was in episode discussion. So I think after that, he and Ben and I were all on the same page, which we just clarified some things and it was all good.
Yeah, so jump in the Slack to join the conversation in the episode discussion channel.
And we're into Tech You Should Know, the part of the show where we bring you 7 tech news stories from the past week that we feel are worth your consideration. Microsoft has inadvertently demonstrated the intrinsic security problem of including a universal backdoor in its software after it accidentally leaked its so-called golden key, which allows users to unlock any device that's supposedly protected by secure boot, such as phones and tablets. This key basically allows anyone to bypass the provisions Microsoft has put in place on any ARM device running Windows 8.1 and upwards. This means that anyone with the willingness to go for it can install any operating system on their Windows tablet, and anyone with physical access to said device can install bootkits and rootkits at deep levels. Plus, this appears to be something that Microsoft may not be able to undo. Now, this particular situation doesn't appear to be that bad, since this only affects ARM and Windows RT devices and doesn't compromise encryption or anything like that, but this demonstrates the error of the FBI's thinking when they ask for a golden key to the encryption protecting, say, iPhones. Once a master key to something is hacked or released, there is no take-backsies. Google's FaceTime clone, Duo, has officially been released on iOS and Android, and the reviews are actually looking pretty good. As a reminder, Duo is a video calling app meant exclusively for two-way communication, hence the Duo. No bells or whistles. Google has aimed for simplicity and reliability with the new product, with no desktop or web support or other fancy features from Google Hangouts, with the exception of a feature called Knock Knock, which begins showing video from the person making the video call on the receiving phone or tablet. This obviously doesn't work on iOS, but the video calling should work just fine, of course.
I actually foolishly thought, when Skype wasn't working out for us earlier, I foolishly thought, oh, we should take the opportunity to try out Google Duo. And that obviously didn't happen.
Right.
Because there's 4 of us. And there's no web version.
No, there's not. Intel just announced its own virtual reality headset called Project Alloy, a VR competitor to the Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, and the forthcoming PlayStation VR headsets. But what separates the Alloy from the pack is that it's completely wireless and it should give you complete spatial awareness without all the dongles the Rift and the Vive currently require. It does this using 2 of Intel's RealSense cameras to continuously map your environment. It can even map your hands. Intel calls the idea merged reality, essentially combining inputs from cameras around your environment into a virtual world. And Intel was able to pack everything, the processor, sensors, and controllers, into one cord-free headset. They say the hardware will be open source in the latter half of 2017, so we won't be seeing this anytime soon. How much you want to bet Vive or Oculus will come out with a cord-free headset before Intel releases theirs?
I think I'd take that bet.
That's a while away.
Although I've been told gambling's inherently sinful in every situation, so maybe I shouldn't take that bet. I don't know.
Oh, hush. Microsoft is making it easier for Mac users to ditch Evernote in favor of OneNote, its rival note-taking app, and a part of the Microsoft Office suite. The company has this week released a new app called the OneNote Importer Tool, which allows Mac users to move all their saved items from Evernote for Mac into OneNote automatically. Microsoft also did this in March for Windows users, but Evernote has peeved its user base considerably since then by raising prices and changing around the features, so it makes a lot of sense to release this now. Ben, will you be using this?
No, I don't use OneNote. I have Mac everything, so I did drop Evernote like a hot rock whenever that change came out, and I've been using Apple Notes since and have been pleasantly surprised at how good it is. If I start needing features that I don't feel like I have, I'll probably try out Google Keep first because I use a lot of Google services.
Okay.
And I want Google to know everything about me because they undoubtedly do.
You know, OneNote works on any Apple device that you have.
Yeah, no, I know. Okay, but all right. The integrations as far as various other services and features and things, since I have like Apple TV, Mac, iPhone, you know, I just typically try. My default is if I can bear it, use the Apple service or product because ecosystem wise, it's better. It's a better experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly with native apps and things like that, you get, or sorry, OS apps, I should say, because OneNote's obviously a native app as well. But there are things that Apple has not enabled for third-party apps like they have for themselves, obviously. So yeah. As is the case with every operating system to an extent, at least. So yeah, if I can stand it, I use the Apple version if I can. Although I'm about to ditch Reminders because it's just the freaking worst.
Yeah, I've ditched Reminders a while ago.
Well, when I went back to Notes, I thought, oh, let me try Reminders out instead of Wunderlist. That'll be a good idea. It was a horrible idea. It was a horrible, horrible idea.
Hey, we should do a to-do Notes roundup. Oh, no, wait, we've done that like three times, haven't we? Again?
Have we? Because I still can't find a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember at least one.
Twitter made another good move this week and unveiled a new feature that will, well, kind of an old feature, but a new feature to most people that will let everyone filter low-quality notifications from bots and spammers. They've had bullying issues in the past, and the company is now finally taking actions to make it a more welcoming place. Twitter is wording this new quality filter as a tool to hide notifications from bots and duplicate tweets from spammers, but it could also be a way to prevent harassment from Twitter trolls before making a decision on account ban. If you want to activate this new filter, go to the Notifications tab in the Twitter mobile app, hit the Settings button, and turn on Quality Filter. This will not work on third-party Twitter applications.
Of course not.
Nope, nope. It'll be here for third-party Twitter applications like 3 years from now. Ford is finally taking the plunge and setting a date for the launch of a fleet of fully autonomous cars. Ford CEO Mark Fields announced that the company is working toward launching a fleet of commercial self-driven vehicles and a ride-hail service by 2021. The details of that ride-hail service, such as which company Ford will partner with to operate it, still haven't been determined. And then, this is great, when Uber came out this week and stole Ford's thunder by announcing that they are deploying self-driving cars this month in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Literally self-driving cars, literally this month.
Which is just like Uber to do also. Totally steal the thunder of anyone who's taking attention away from them.
That's true. That's true.
Aren't they largely untested still? Like, aren't you not allowed to use them in general yet?
Yeah, when you say literally self-driving, what does that mean exactly?
That's a good question. Although I do not think Uber cares about regulators at all, judging from behavior.
I'm pretty sure they will if all their drivers start getting arrested.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's the cars. The cars won't be. But anyway.
They'll be impounded, sorry.
There won't be... it won't be completely lacking of human interaction, but pretty darn close. For now, the cars will also come with people in the driver's seat, but they'll just be there to make sure nothing goes terribly, horribly wrong, and to take over in scenarios where Uber's self-driving tech isn't yet reliable, such as when the car is crossing a bridge.
That was a horrifying sentence. Wait a minute.
That's why I laughed. I was like, seriously? Who's going to actually
Oh my gosh.
So
I don't know what to do with myself right now.
So if you happen to get that, these will be assigned randomly. So if you order an Uber in Pittsburgh,
you don't even know if it's self-driving.
But you will get your ride for free. See, they will waive the fee if you get.
What? Because you might die on a bridge. That's why.
Here's $20 just in case we kill you.
But anyway. This is totally out of the blue. Uber has been talking about this for a while, but nobody expected it to be this quickly. So we'll see how it goes. And that's all the tech you should know this week. If we left out something you think we should have mentioned, please feel free to email us at ask@techreformation.com.
And for more tech you should know throughout the week, follow us on Twitter @TechReformation. So now it's time for Tech You Should Use. Well, what is typically Tech You Should Use, the part of the show where we tell you about one piece of technology in more detail and why you should use it and what we like about it. But this week, we're going to do more of a full review of some of the podcast apps that we've mentioned frequently that a lot of the listeners use, and just kind of compare them. So I'm calling it Podcast App Roundup, but that doesn't mean that we're going to talk about every single podcast app to have ever existed. Notably left out will be maybe some popular ones because none of us use them and we don't know anyone who uses them, and that's okay. So please don't send us angry emails. And if you want to, you can send it to Derek@idontgivearip.com.
I don't own that URL.
Just kidding. So this was all motivated by last week, I guess. Craig bought me Pocket Casts. Sadly, on the Australian App Store, so I couldn't use it. So then he PayPal'd me $5.99 Australian dollars and cents, which I converted to American thanks to PayPal, which turned out to be like $4.47 American dollars. Wait, $4.47 American dollars. How do you do that when the unit of measure also has the word dollar in it? Anyway,
yeah, whatever.
Totally beside the point. I bought Pocket Casts and I've been using it for a week, and I really like it in general. Really like it. Derek, you've used it too, right?
Yes, I have. I've been testing it fairly extensively, mostly extensively this week. I've been comparing back and forth between Overcast and Pocket Casts. Overcast is, of course, my app of choice. And so I was playing a bunch of stuff through Pocket Casts, and I have some things to say about it. But what are your initial reactions, Ben? Like, what are the things that you like, first off?
Yeah, so hang on. Before we go there, you usually use Overcast, right? Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And that's the one we talk about most on the show. At the end of the show, we even have started saying for the last several episodes that if you want to, you can recommend us in Overcast. That helps us get out there and get known.
Mostly because Overcast has a recommendation feature.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. But Craig has been a longtime supporter of Pocket Casts, which is another very popular podcast app, of course. And Craig this week, tell me if this is wrong. Didn't you check out Overcast for the week, Craig?
I tried. I probably lasted 2 or 3 days.
Oh, man. You just hated it that much?
I don't hate it. It just doesn't work like I want it to work. It doesn't work like Pocket Casts, and I'm used to Pocket Casts. It's just, it's familiar, and it works well, and it does what I want it to do.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. See, I would say the same thing about Pocket Casts. But go ahead.
Oh, man, we are going to have some of the most heated debate and discussion we've ever had on this show right now about which podcast app is better. Derek versus Craig, ready, go.
No. Okay, so something as simple as this, right? I'm at home on Wi-Fi this morning, so I booted up Overcast, and it's downloading like 8 episodes of different things. And so I go into I don't want it to be doing that. So I go into the settings and I look at behavior and it says new episodes download. The only options it gives me are stream when played or download on cellular or Wi-Fi. So it's set to either only stream or automatically download on Wi-Fi or automatically download on both Wi-Fi and cellular. This is just not my workflow. So my workflow in Pocket Casts is that, like I said last week, I know that there's 6 or 7 podcasts in my list that I listen to pretty much every week. There's a whole bunch of other ones that I listen to when I have time. So I look through the 6 or 7 that I listen to that week as the week goes on. If I want to listen to that episode, I download it at that point and queue it up into my Up Next playlist. If there's one of my regulars that I don't want to listen to that week, then I'll go looking for another 1 or 2 to fill the gap. So I don't want my podcast app, at least not by default, to be just downloading every new episode of every podcast that I'm subscribed to.
So wait a minute. Did you say that you said you there wasn't for you a place to say don't auto-download?
Correct.
Okay, because
stream. You can say stream only.
Cool. Yeah. So you can tell it to not download by default, right? On Overcast. You found that.
Yeah, you can tell it to stream when played. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah. So then it'll still queue up the episode, like in your sort of to-do list, if you will, of podcasts, but it doesn't download it. But you're saying it, you don't even want it to queue it in the list. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can filter the list. You can create different lists that include different podcasts. It has filters.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a way around it. I didn't dig a hole bunch.
I see.
I also don't really understand, maybe this is a really simple thing that I'm missing, but in the main interface of Overcast, and we're supposed to be talking more about Pocket Cast than Overcast, I think, but the whole, like, the layout of playlists, all episodes, and then podcasts, and then there's like five or six in that list. Now, is that the ones that have new episodes that I haven't listened to yet?
Yes, that's true. Yep.
And then underneath, it's got played podcasts.
Yes, that's all the podcasts you've ever subscribed to or downloaded one episode from. So this is actually brings me to, like, maybe my first big gripe. And there, for the record, in general, I like Pocket Cast. I think I might even switch to it full time, which is crazy. I did not think that was going to happen.
All right.
But this is my first big gripe about Pocket Casts. And it sounds like it's the same gripe that Craig has against Overcast, which is really funny. But I felt like there were a ton of hidden settings.
Yes.
Like I, at first when I got it, I was like, man, it's so weird that they don't have a setting for this. And then as I kept using it, I realized, oh, there is a setting for this and this is where it is. But it's like two or three menus deep in Pocket Casts. And I just didn't know that. And I would have never known that unless someone had told me, or maybe if I looked up a wiki or something, which I tried looking up settings online and there was not a lot of good resources around it, at least that I found. It was kind of weird. It wasn't that it didn't have the settings I wanted. There was one big one that I wanted that it doesn't have, which we'll get into in a second. But it was more that the main thing was it had all the features except for one, but I couldn't find like any of them, which just seemed really weird to me.
Is that because it lands you in the podcasts area and you didn't realize that you had to go out to where the settings are? Or
No. I found that. So, yeah, that's the other thing. There's a section called settings that does not have all of the settings in it. Like, for example, there is an auto download setting. So this is a totally fundamental workflow difference that you were kind of bringing up. But for those who haven't tried both, the way Pocket Cast works is you can subscribe to podcast feeds and you always get the new one. But by default, it streams. So you would stream it when you play it. You have to set it to download when it comes into the feed if you want that. I couldn't find that setting for a long time until about halfway through the week. Obviously, I've found it now, but it's like, why is that? You know? And there wasn't even sort of like an intro that I remember when you first opened the app that's like, hey, this is where you can do this or something like that. They didn't give me a place to go. I found a help feature that didn't have all the answers I wanted. I mean, I guess I'm not expecting it to read my mind. I just thought it was a little less intuitive than I expected. And this is one of my big pros, for an app that's designed so well, like I like the way that Pocket Cast is laid out and all of the design elements a lot more than Overcast. And so I just felt it was kind of weird that it was a lot less intuitive.
So the downloading feature you're talking about is like you have a podcast feed open, you tap the three dots and say download all. Is that?
Yeah. So there's actually, if you go out to beyond the artwork flow, the layer back before that, you can go to a filter, I guess it is a filter called downloads, and then you get a three dots menu there, and you can, when the pop-up there says auto download settings or cleanup, if you put auto download settings, it goes into a list of your podcasts and switches for each one. And so the settings there, but it's like I never would have known to go through those sort of menus to get to it, and I kind of had to hunt for it, which I thought was weird, because to me, so, and this is totally different, and this is preference, which is fine. I'm not saying you're wrong or that I'm right. But to me, I download everything by default because I download it when I'm on Wi-Fi and then I listen to it. Because when I grab a podcast or an episode, I'm always going to listen to at least part of it, if not all of it. So I want it to download when I'm on Wi-Fi so I can listen to it later and not use data. And then even sometimes later, I'll just download it on cellular anyway because it's an episode I really want to listen to or something. So it's just a different, and then in the Slack this week, like a bunch of people, I think three people were saying, oh yeah, I stream everything. I never download anything. And that was just so foreign to me because I've always auto downloaded every podcast. Is that how it is for you, Derek? How do you do it?
Yeah, I always download every podcast. So never really bought and I have enough space in my phone that I can, you know, when I wake up every morning, everything's downloaded and, then if there's too many podcasts for me to listen to that I want to delete a couple, I can just go through and delete a couple. So neither of these apps are really great at triage. I think if you're looking for a podcast app that's great for like going through and picking what you want to listen to every day, Castro is probably better. They just released a new update. But all of these are interface differences. I would say Overcast has fewer layers to it, but Pocket Casts is, you know, has the feature set. You just need to dig through, you know, the one time that you need to go through to change a setting and just do it. And, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of important too, right? What you just brought up is the settings I'm talking about. You literally have to go to that one time. And then it's that's the way it's set forever because you set it up how you want it. You never go back, which is a great point. So it's kind of a small gripe as far as those go. I would say one of the pros, as I mentioned, was design. Another pro that I probably my feature that I like the most from Pocket Casts and the one that I think might make me switch is the Up Next feature, which Overcast doesn't have. So you can, I know you can do playlists. I get that. I never used them in Overcast because I thought they were totally useless. I tried them, but I mean, I never put it as part of my workflow because it just seemed like, why would I do this? But in Overcast or in Pocket Casts, you not only can you make those same sort of playlists, they call them filters, you also have an ad hoc playlist at any given moment when you're listening to something. You can add to Up Next, just like in Apple Music, what you want to listen to next, which episode. And you can actually even set for this podcast feed for Tech Reformation, whenever a new episode comes out, not only do I want it to auto download, I also want it to auto add to my Up Next list. So it just populates into that ad hoc playlist. I love that. That is so cool that on the fly I can add, this is what I want to hear next, and then these other six ones also, and order them separately. And you can always really quickly get to it because in the now playing list, you just swipe right and you get your list of what's coming up next. I love that. I think that Overcast should steal that feature totally because it's awesome.
Yeah, that's something that I definitely missed from when I switched from Instacast back in the day to Overcast. Was I really liked the Up Next feature, but Instacast was just so buggy and awful that I was happy to switch to Overcast despite that feature not being there. But yeah, that is awesome.
I also like with Up Next the fact that it sometimes I'll be listening to something in my Up Next feed and then I'll see a new episode of something else that I really want to listen to at that particular moment. So then I'll download that and listen to that instead. And then it goes back to, where I was up to in the other. So it returns to the Up Next, even though I've overridden the Up Next, playlist basically.
Yeah.
Which is pretty helpful.
So that actually leads me to one of the other, there were two settings I now realize as I look back through my list of notes I took this week on the Pocket Casts experience. One of them is I could not find, and maybe there is one, but I couldn't find it, a place to set by podcast, do I want this to auto add to Up Next? That where you do that is you go into each feed and then you click the three-dot menu and you click podcast settings and then you tell it auto download, auto add to Up Next, which I have 30 podcasts. I do not want to do that for all of them, even though I did do that for all of them. It's like, why is there not a list like the auto download where it just has all my podcasts and a yes, no switch of whether I want it to add to auto Up Next? Mm-hmm. Maybe there is, but I couldn't find it still. And that was one I Googled around for a little while. I even tweeted it at Pocket Casts and tried to get them to tell me if it existed, but haven't heard back yet. So the other one on the con list was single podcast episodes. And this is another one that I couldn't find. Maybe it's there. But one thing I love about Overcast is I don't have to subscribe to the podcast and get it every single week or every other day or every day or every hour, because some feeds just update like a ton and I don't want all that stuff. I just want to listen to one episode. Overcast is great at that. You can just pick the one episode you want, download it and listen. And it doesn't auto subscribe you. It doesn't get the next one. It just gets that one. And then I can decide if I want to subscribe or listen to another one. I like that a lot. I couldn't find any way to download a specific episode in Pocket Casts. And that was like a big con for me. While we're on the settings thing, I've talked about there wasn't a per podcast. First off, I thought settings were confusing and hard to find. There wasn't a per podcast auto add to Up Next. And then the single podcast episodes thing doesn't seem to be there. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong in the Slack this week. And then the last thing I'd say on the hidden settings or confusing settings is the speed settings. So for a few days of using it, I just thought you couldn't decide that you wanted this podcast to go at this speed and to have the voice boost and the, trim silence thing. I just thought it was like you globally choose, I want everything at 1.5 or I want everything at normal. And I was wrong. You go in, if you go into the speed settings and you don't, the Chris Ragsdale pointed this out in the Slack this week, so thanks to him. If you go into the settings for a podcast and you make it set while you're listening what speed you want or trim silence, and you don't turn on the apply to all podcasts thing, then it continues for every episode of that podcast to use those settings, and it leaves everything else as what you've ever already set. I thought the apply to all podcast, maybe this is just a naming thing, or maybe you need one more switch, but I thought the apply to all podcasts meant all podcasts in this feed. So I switched it on, and then I found out it means all podcasts, period.
Oh.
So I now never use that switch because I want every podcast to be a different speed. So like the dividing line, James White talks really slow, and I put him on like 1.5 every time, sometimes faster. But other people talk really fast, or they have good music or something, and I don't want to speed them up at all. And there's a lot of developer podcasts that I want to go slow so I can actually understand and think through what they're saying while they're saying it because they talk fast. So yeah, it was just one of those, like, I didn't know how to do it, and no one told me or showed me how, so I don't know how I would have known if I hadn't asked. Okay, back to the pros. On the pros list, I love the Discover feature in Pocket Casts. I think it wins hands down. It's very visual. It shows album artwork well. They have not just a top in each category, like a top podcasts ever. They have a what's popular, and they have a what's trending. So like, what are people listening to right now? Which I think is really cool. Because the all-time best podcasts list almost never changes. You know, you might have one new one come up and show up in that list, but, other than that, it's not going to change very much. The trending list changes a ton, which I like. So it helps me find new podcasts that I want to listen to. And I use that a bunch this week. So I actually have a bunch right now that I need to be listening to, but
plus I'm pretty sure Pocket Casts, curates like their featured section. Like they actually have people working to curate that every week, which is a crazy amount of work, but awesome.
Yeah. So they also have in the Discover, I was just talking about trending, but even in the Discover view, they have that featured section Derek's talking about, which is curated by them. Trending is what are people listening to? Popular is what are the best, most popular is what are the best of all time. And then if you scroll down below that, you get podcast networks, which is really cool. Unfortunately, Theology Mix isn't in here. I'm not sure why. But you know, you can see like NPR, Relay FM, Radiotopia, all that stuff. And you can see every podcast in their network on a specific page for them, which I think is really cool. I know how Overcast has some of that, but I found Pocket Casts to be a little bit more thorough in that, having more and just looking better in general. I will say, sort of on the note of UX, Overcast makes me feel like listening to podcasts is something to get done. And since I'm already an achiever personality type, it just like adds the stress that it's like, you've got all these podcasts. You need to check these off. But I can't do that. So I don't feel like Pocket Casts does that to me, which I like. That's a small one, but I like that. That's just personal too. I wouldn't encourage other people to get it based on that. But I thought that was cool.
Actually, I've noticed that too, and that I think that combined with the better, what I consider better design in terms of look and feel of Pocket Casts. I know you said it's a small one, but that actually, rather than just like being, oh, here's your list of things you're working through at the moment, I just feel like Pocket Casts is a bit more. It feels like it just gives me more choice rather than I don't like the first thing I'm faced with isn't just a list of here's the latest episodes. The first thing I go to is the album artwork of all the podcasts that I have in my saved area kind of thing. And then I feel like I have the ability to just go and choose what I want to do rather than just working through a list that's sort of pre-printed out for me, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not that either way is wrong. It's fine for Overcast to work that way, and that's probably helpful for a lot of people. I just prefer like flipping through the pages of a magazine to go, well, I'll check out that, I'll check out that, see what's in there this week, and then come back and use, like I said last week, I use my downloaded list as my playlist to then work through once I've done that process.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad I'm not the only one that felt that way. I kind of thought, am I taking crazy pills or am I weird for this? But yeah, it was a big like, man, I feel more free to listen to podcasts and enjoy them instead of feeling like it's something I got to get done. And I would say, you know, back on the design front, one of the things you mentioned, Craig, it is very visually driven. So your podcasts can, by default, are a list of album artwork. And I like that a lot. Design's really important to me. And I am infamous for not using apps because they're ugly, which is sometimes bad because they're great apps other than that. But we mentioned the custom feature or custom filters feature. You can make your own lists in Overcast or in Pocket Casts, which I know you can also do in Overcast, but I feel like Pocket Casts did it better. On the con side, a couple of things. I think, and I did not test this extensively, but I feel like Pocket Casts was draining my battery a lot more than Overcast does. Did you guys notice that at all?
I didn't, no.
Okay, maybe I just am making that up, but it seemed to me like I was getting to the end of the day and I had a lot less battery percentage left.
It's quite possible that that's the case, because I know Marco Arment was for a while really on a mission to make his app as very bare bones for the battery as possible. Like, keep it super low, better than the Apple Podcasts app. You know, trying to make it super optimized. So that's quite possibly the case.
Yeah. I know that he had that visualizer that was eating people's battery a lot, and he moved that to behind the pause button, which was really helpful and pretty cool.
On the way to work and back every day, and I drive for an hour and 20 minutes to get to work. If I charge my phone overnight most nights, and so if it's at 100%, it might be down to 97 or something by the time I get to work, 96 maybe. So like 4% for an hour and 20 minutes of listening the whole time, which I don't feel like is unreasonable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Don't know what the standard is.
My two last cons for Pocket Casts would be that the web app costs an extra $9. It's not a subscription. At first, I thought it was, but it's actually just you buy the mobile app for $4 and you buy the web app for $9. Both are one-time costs. Overcast's web is free and there's no cost associated ever. Overcast's app is also free. They're on a patron model. So you don't pay for the app unless you want to. And then you just get two extra features, dark mode and custom file uploads. And then finally, I felt like, and this may be another inconclusive one, it's not very scientific, but I felt like when I was multitasking out of the app and back in, and just in general when the app booted up, it felt a little slow to me. So like I would sit there and watch as the play button would turn from pause to play and vice versa, or the time tracker would sit where it was when I was in it last and then jump up to where I actually was in the episode. So it was almost like there weren't enough background processes running to keep those things up to date for me behind the scenes. I don't know if they did that to save battery or I don't know if it's just like it's slow and they need performance enhancements. I don't know. But it felt a little slow at first launch and multitasking back into it, which was odd. Never had that problem with Overcast. I feel like it's just more of a lightweight app though. So
I would have one other thing to say. As far as audio quality goes and the strip silence feature, I've noticed that the strip silence on Pocket Casts is more aggressive than Overcast. So it sounds like, so often you'll get the effect of like jump cuts on, like, you know, vloggers on YouTube will use, where they talk like this, like they talk in normal sentences and then they cut the pauses out between the sentences. And so it just feels like they're jumping, like they're kind of cutting each other off. And you'll get that more cutting other people off kind of through the conversation. So it's more of like a continuous flow of words, which I find a little exhausting, which I've never had with Overcast, which is something I appreciated about the strip silence feature. But it's just a little complaint. I'm sure most people won't notice or care, but it bothers me.
So Derek, are you going to continue using Overcast?
Yeah, probably.
Craig, are you going to keep using Pocket Casts?
Definitely.
I think I am going to use Pocket Casts on my phone and Overcast on the web. As annoying as that will be to keep up with multiple feeds.
Yep.
I give that 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll I would see. Too.
I used to do it when I used Downcast, which is funny since I'm bringing up Downcast anyway. In general, I would say I like Pocket Casts a lot more. I feel like it's the middle between Downcast and Overcast. So Overcast, you have a very, very slim podcast app. There's not a whole lot of settings. There's not a whole lot even to it. It doesn't even have video podcasts. And he's made the point that he doesn't want to do that, which is fine. Whereas downcast is the opposite end of the spectrum. It's like, I think it's $4. It is power user, like setting for everything, crazy. You can upload custom files to it for free. It's pretty neat. I still use that for, watching different videos and listening to different things on mobile so I can speed them up. But then Pocket Casts, I feel like, is the sweet middle, the sweet spot in the middle. And so that's why I like it. I would say if you're design conscious, check out Pocket Casts for sure. Or if you're cheap, like I used to be, maybe you should stay on Overcasts. But I will say, I didn't think I would say this, it's definitely worth the $4.
Especially if Craig pays for it. Nice.
Especially if Craig pays for it. Now I feel like I got to pay Craig back.
Nah, don't worry about it. If you're finding it useful, that's a win. That's a good thing.
It's true. I'll probably pay Craig back, though.
Nah, it's true.
Well, are you wondering what I use?
You don't listen
to podcasts.
Yeah,
you said nothing that whole time.
Do what? As a battle between two things I don't use. So I use a Podcast Addict, and it's free. And I thought there was going to be nothing that would compare. You know, it doesn't match up. But then I checked the recent updates while you guys were talking. Discovered it just came out with a Hungarian translation. So, Hungarian listeners out there.
Awesome.
That might just push it over the edge for you all.
There you go.
There's a small niche group that Podcast Addict might be your app.
Oh man,
you can join me.
I don't think that's available on the Apple App Store.
No, that's Android only.
Oh, I see.
They have their own.
Just please don't use the Apple Podcasts app. If you're listening to us on the Apple Podcasts app, give us a rate and review on iTunes and then just quit using that sucker.
It used to be good. I used to use it until Pocket Cast came along and until they changed the way the layout worked. Anyway.
And that is the tech you should use this week.
This week's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the premier audiobook provider with over 200,000 audiobooks and programs ready for you to download and listen to. They have so many audiobooks that if you can think of a book that you want to listen to, they probably have it. They have everything from fiction, nonfiction, religious stuff. You can get John Piper books on here. Sacred Marriage was actually a really great book that I listened to when I was on the way to marriage, when I was thinking of popping a question and trying to learn as much about, you know, myself and what I would expect in marriage, or what I should expect in marriage, you know, going forward. And Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas was actually really great for that. And there are so many other marriage books on there as well. You can just search for something like marriage and go through and see, okay, that author looks familiar. Maybe I'll check that out. They have users can leave reviews about, you know, what they thought overall. You know, they rate the narrator. The narrator is actually really important. I've listened to some bad narrators and it is not fun. So you can go through and check all the ratings and make sure that you think you're going to like it before you get it. But they also have a return policy. If you buy something and you don't like it, they will let you return it and get another book. It's really great. They're really nice about that. And we are offering a free audiobook download, a free month of use on Audible. If you go to audibletrial.com/techreformation, that will get you a free month of Audible. That includes their channels feature, it includes one free audiobook, and you can cancel that at any time and keep the book that you downloaded. So try it out. It would also really help support us as well. Thank you to Audible for sponsoring this week of Tech Reformation.
Hello, my name is Elijah, and I am the host of The Fetal Position, which is a pro-life podcast dedicated to all the bioethics issues surrounding the life of the unborn human children, from conception to birth. We will be discussing issues from abortion to genetic engineering, stem cell research to cloning, and possibly a handful of afterbirth issues like organ donation and physician-assisted suicide. You can find more details at thefetalposition.com, and please join me in the discussion. Talk to you soon. We'll be right back.
So now it's time for our main topic, which will be abbreviated this week. But we unfortunately missed Tank last week because he's out fulfilling his missionary duties. We wanted to give Tank a chance to share the gospel with us, number one. And maybe number two, just any feedback or thoughts or reflections on last week. I know you listened and timed us and told me how long I was. I'm really sorry, everyone, that I can't say anything briefly. Anyway, so Tank, tell us what's the gospel?
Am I going to be timed?
Yes. No, I didn't time anyone last week. That's why I went way over.
I'll unofficially time you.
Yeah. I have a thing about that. Whenever someone says it's going to take this long, I always time it. So like movies where they say 5 minutes till the door shuts, I start a timer and see if the door shuts 15 minutes later or five. Yep. Yeah, I am.
All right.
Some movies do well. Frozen did the best. Anyway.
I'm starting the clock now.
Okay, so I was surprised that nobody just said this verse and called it done. So I'm going to do that. 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scripture, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of us all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. And then one more thing that I'm going to take it from a different angle, just for fun. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The end.
That was 50 seconds. And my nice. Yes. My initial comment would be, good luck saying that to a non-believer. They will just be like, huh?
So there's a difference between the gospel and a gospel presentation.
Correct. Yeah.
So
I guess that's fair. I think last week we all interpreted it to mean gospel presentation, and that's why we answered the way we did.
And so, I mean, you guys said it three times. I thought I would take a more fun angle. Yeah. I really liked, what is the gospel? And Romans 1 says, the gospel is. So I thought I'd go with that.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah. Sorry about that. For using scripture, that's cheating in an argument.
Actually, someone did, I asked for feedback and someone did say, I was surprised how little you quoted scripture in a totally loving way. He wasn't mad about it or anything. But then I was like, oh yeah, I guess we probably should have quoted the Bible more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's great. I thought,
I don't know. I don't have a problem with not quoting the Bible if it's your first encounter with someone, because if the Bible to them is not at all relevant, maybe it's a precept thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty precept though in terms of apologetics, but I still think if you're wanting to present the gospel, you don't necessarily, I don't know. I wouldn't think you necessarily have to quote a particular verse to them or something.
No, I don't think he's saying that. I actually think it's more precept to quote the Bible scripture rather than not to.
No, that's what I was saying. I'm saying maybe if you're approaching sharing the gospel from a purely precept standpoint, then you would go, well, the only true authority is the Bible, so I'm going to use the Bible whether they like it or not in my gospel presentation.
Well, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant, because I was actually thinking about this after he said that. Actually, it's just that you believe that the Word of God is the means which God uses to give life where there is none.
Sure.
So if the Word of God's not preached, then there won't be new life.
Yeah, that's fair.
We could say. And people might object to that, but I mean, the Word of God is the means which the Spirit of God uses to bring someone to new life. There's no denying that from Scripture. So, that would be...
Faith comes from hearing and hearing the Word of God.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Romans 14, I think.
Yeah. Tank, I'm just going to take you around with me so that way you can quote all the Bible verses I'm referring to. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool.
Yeah, that's something as we've talked about, that I've been trying to share the gospel through this training a lot more. And I realized just going through the story of the Bible, kind of creation to Christ model of sharing the gospel. The first time I just tried to do it, I was like, oh, I got this. I can share the gospel easy. And just first time in a practice, I was like, oh man, I was jumping all over the place. No scripture came to mind the whole time. And so that's actually been something I've been working on a little bit, just solidifying a short gospel presentation, And of course, it would be tailored to the person. Like,
right,
I wouldn't just be the same way every time, but being able to do it just on my own, what a full thing would be, and seeing what scriptures would be in there. It was actually a lot harder than I expected it to be. And so I've been trying to practice through it recently. So definitely good practice if you just try it on your own in the car and see how well you do. Like, oh yeah, maybe I should practice that as if I'm going to share it sometime soon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's interesting. I used to personally think, you know, the gospel is a 30-second or 60-second or in my case 2 minutes and 20 seconds script that if I don't get mm-hmm. all the way through it with someone, then I did not share the gospel with them. And it was, I mean, honestly, it caused me to feel a lot of guilt because it was like, man, I'm never sharing the gospel because I'm never getting through this 2 minutes and 20 seconds speech, right? Which obviously is totally wrong. I realize that now. But I think it's actually an unhelpful way to think about it in general too, because really what you have is, I like the way that David Platt talks about it, where you sort of have threads more than anything, that you're sort of, sharing with people over various times. Obviously, in the context of relationship, you have more opportunity to have these conversations than not. And stranger evangelism is different. So take this with that caveat. But the idea would be, you know, the gospel is the threads that God is holy, man is sinful, Christ is sufficient. We need to have faith and that, eternity is an urgent thing. And so if you're talking about those five things over the course of time, you're trusting in God, the Holy Spirit, to weave the threads together that someone might believe. And I mean, when I heard that from him, it was a very freeing thing to realize that, no, it's not the case that if I don't get through my script, then I didn't share the gospel. And I think since then, it's the daily struggle of realizing, no, that's actually not true. And I should live in light of what is true instead. And so it's just a lot more freeing of a way to think about it.
Well, I guess maybe pushback might be the right phrase on that. Just like...
Oh, you're going to push back?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh, all right.
I okay. agree with you. Like in a relational sense, you get the opportunity much more. But imagining like being at a pulpit, if you're not a pastor, but if for whatever reason you have a stand where you're speaking to somebody, so pulpit's not the right word, but like if you have a presentation opportunity,
a platform.
Maybe to a group, there's it is, platform. If you have a platform where you're speaking, that's a very good opportunity to go through the gospel. So you would want to have that ability to at least. And then you did say stranger evangelism, like whenever you meet somebody, they're always a stranger to begin with. And yeah, one thing I've been kind of going through and trying to like get in my head is like, you know, to know me is to know what the gospel is and hopefully be able to share that much, much sooner than normal. And so that's not the full script. Of course, it's tailored to the person, but still having, if I have the ability to share it all, then I would want to. And I think that looking for those opportunities to share the full thing at least once with a person is good. Not saying it has to happen to every person we ever meet, but.
So I think we're coming definitely from different perspectives. My background causes me to have the perspective I do now, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe I would say, well, actually, let me just ask you, what's the most succinct way you could share the gospel? Like if you could boil it down to a sentence, maybe.
One sentence?
And, yeah.
Probably 1 Corinthians 15 would be the fastest I could do it.
Okay.
Cool. I don't know. What do you mean? Yeah.
Well, I think I would say Christ died to save sinners. Jesus Christ died to save sinners. Maybe would be
okay.
If I had only five words, six words. Sorry. The first time it was five because I said Christ instead of Jesus Christ. Anyway. Yeah. And I mean, like inherent in that one sentence is all five of the things I mentioned. It's just they're not explicit, mm-hmm. right? You can't. I guess you can't really communicate the gospel without communicating at least implicitly the things I mentioned, even though they may not be. Overtly said. The trouble is when you, and like I said, like the caveat was with a stranger, if I knew going into it, I only have one opportunity to speak to this person, mm-hmm. obviously what I just said would be different, which I think mm-hmm. hopefully answers a lot of the pushback. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, yeah. Majority of the relationships I have with people just aren't that way. So I'm thinking of like friends and family and coworkers. So, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's maybe what I have been thinking. Of course, I don't have a lot of experience. I've just been, you know, I've been getting shoved share the gospel more down my throat for 4 weeks now. So
yeah,
that's probably where a lot of this is coming from. So that helps. But I have more of the ability. I have the ability to share more than I may think I do. Like in my head thinking, if I say Jesus in a conversation, then that was a positive and I can walk away happy, is actually more damaging to me, at least, because I could have injected much more of the gospel if I had just been more confident too. And so finding opportunities to share much more in its fullness rather than thinking, oh, I said a sentence and now I can walk away happy, you know. And so sometimes just sharing a sentence is good, and we can definitely walk away happy. But I think looking for opportunities in those relationships to regularly be sharing conversationally a larger portion of the gospel and bringing up conversations to where we can get to that with the purpose of getting to that. So
it's interesting. I think we're using the same words to mean different things, which tends to be unhelpful. But yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, it comes from a background. I certainly have gotten the same you're talking about, which is the push to share the gospel more. Not like you're getting it now, I'm sure, which is fine. I see that difference is what I'm saying. Yeah, and I just feel like it's something that we bludgeon people with and make them feel really guilty about. Not that you're, I'm not saying you're doing that at all. But I can definitely think of times when I've seen that, and it makes me really sad because the trouble with the perspective, not yours, but the one I'm talking about, is that Christians don't inherently want to like glorify Jesus, talk about Jesus, see people know Jesus, but that instead they have to be guilted into those things. And I guess I'm saying like, that's just a totally wrong way of thinking about it, because the one who's been saved by Jesus adores Jesus and wants to see his name be great, you know? So it's like, my experience isn't with people who are, I don't know. Yeah. I just don't think, my experience is with people who are trying to get the minimum amount done to not feel guilty, but it's instead with people who, kind of like Derek was talking about at the beginning, who are looking at themselves, feeling like they don't stack up to this sort of arbitrary thing that's been built for them, which tends to be a standard outside the New Testament, that's been imposed upon them, that they feel guilty that they're not meeting. And I want to be like, wait a minute, like let's really think about this instead. But again, I'm talking about a perspective that you don't have. I'm just talking about the one that I see the most often, which is makes me sad is all.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I guess what I'm saying is I just don't want people's motivation for sharing the gospel to be guilt. I want it to be love for Jesus.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And I was more wanting to emphasize that we should try to share the gospel in its fullness more regularly. So yeah, different of emphasis.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And even in that, right, it's just a different perspective, because I noticed a couple of times when you were saying the gospel, it sounded a lot like, I don't know if this is true, I'm asking, it sounded a lot like sort of that script mindset that I was talking about. Like there's certain things that if I don't check these off, then I didn't share the gospel. But you're not saying that, are you, Tank?
Potentially.
Oh, okay.
I would say there's not a full solid checklist. Yeah, I would say that. But I'd also just say, like, I don't want my full gospel sharing experience throughout my life just to be Jesus came to save sinners, you know, which I know you're not saying either, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm obviously not saying
it's all in how we view. See, I think you guys are both viewing the third use of the law correctly. You're just, your tendencies are towards either way. Like, so the third use of the law would be, to reveal what is pleasing to God, to let us know what a good work is. We are not, death does not come under the law, come from the law to us anymore, because we are saved by the work of Christ. But, you know, it shows us, okay, this is what a good work is. You can strive for this. But to feel guilty, like to have a sense of guilt about an arbitrary, this is how often you should be sharing, shouldn't feel guilty about that. If knowing that, sharing the gospel more drives you to do that, well, that's good. That's a good work. But to feel crippled under it being some kind of a requirement to with first standing with God. That's so you guys are talking about two sides of the same coin. In that way. So everyone agrees, I believe. It's just where we're at on that coin.
Does anybody have any recos?
I'm going to quickly reco a book that I'm reading at the moment for church. My church is doing this thing called Winter School because it's winter in Australia. Surprise, surprise. And we're reading a book by Vaughan Roberts called God's Big Picture, I think it is. It's basically like a biblical theology sort of overview of the Bible, sort of just walking through, the history of the story of the Bible and God's creation through to redemption and breaks it down into, it's kind of focused on the kingdom and how the kingdom of God interacts with the different parts of history. So that's kind of the model that he uses, and it's just been interesting to sort of read through and talk through with other people. So check it out.
I'm going to reco studying church history because I am in a seminary class this semester on that topic. It's one of the reasons I wanted to do seminary, whether I become a pastor or not, was to learn church history, because James White says all the time that you should study church history and Greek if you ever want to have apologetic answers for false teachings. And so I was really excited, and it's as awesome as I had hoped, if not more. Read original sources. It's so interesting, and it makes it come alive. And the church fathers were some bad dudes who were not afraid to spare offense, man. Like, they said some awesome stuff about some heretics, which is, it's just kind of like, in my modern sensitivities, I'm like, oh gosh, that's kind of crazy. So they were not afraid to say that dude is going straight to hell.
Would you say that they were the kings of pushback in their day?
Oh, yeah, totally. They were some bad dudes. So study church history. It's fun. If you'd like to join the conversation, sign up for our Slack team at slack.techreformation.com and jump in the new channel, Calvinism Versus. It's like Science Versus, but a million times cooler.
I was wondering, what is the purpose of this channel, Calvinism Versus?
We were talking in episode discussion this week, and someone said something about something, and was like, oh, but I'm an Arminian. And I was like, can we talk about your Arminianism instead? Just as like a joshing thing. And he was like, sure. And so we started talking about it. His name's Martin. He's a really awesome guy, and we've been having some great conversation, us and a couple others this week. And he was like, why don't we have a Calvinism channel, like a Calvinism Versus channel, as a joke? And I was like, okay. So I just made it. And it's like awesome. It's been really fun and edifying, I think, for everybody.
Sweet, sweet.
You can also visit our website to search for past shows and topics. Just use the tags and find something that interests you. I'm sure there'll be something there.
We are a part of the Theology Mix Network. You can visit the website or master iTunes feed. There are links down below in the show notes. Check that out.
Don't forget to review us on iTunes, recommend us on Overcast, and give us a star on Pocket Cast, which actually doesn't recommend us to others. Yeah, it just checks it for you.
It does nothing.
Which is kind of confusing.
Hang on. I've contacted them about that on Twitter and said...
Yeah, I saw that.
Could you do... And they seem interested, at least in pursuing, you know, or at least in humoring one of their crazy app users in terms of finding out what I actually mean and seeing whether or not they'd be interested in doing it. So hopefully... that comes to something and they build it into, I guess it would just build into their current Discover feature, right? But that'd actually go on user manual user recommendation rather than just, I guess, popularity of downloads or whatever.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you know, dear listeners, if that happens, and to recommend us on that, if that happens.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. We go.